session number 9875, reel 12.
Mr. Ashurst, reel 12. Was there ever any trouble over this gambling on Mudros? So especially with, I'm thinking of the people who lost the money, or a lot of money in particular.
Oh, a little bit. Oh, there was always plenty of scraps. But nothing serious much, you know. One fella have a bit of a grudge at something and they'd have a scrap. But might have insulted the English, or the English insulted the Aussies or something, and there'd be a bit of a scrap, but there was never any big trouble. No, things are rather peaceful. Unless, of course, we weren't as mad as the Aussies, you see. They had a scrap or two that we never had. I mean, when you were lined up for the beer, there was queues a mile long, but there was military police seeing that you kept your place and you didn't nip in and get two pints, you know. You just got the one.
Was that given to you, or did you have to buy that?
Eh?
You had to buy that, didn't you?
Oh, yes, that was canteen. You had to
buy
it.
You were only allowed one?
Yes.
Now, you said about the training. What else did you do in your training? Did you do route marches?
Oh, a little route march, yes. But not too far. We did more rifle cleaning, you know. We kept cleaning the damn rifles and things, our equipment. And we were doing a bit of washing, you know, anything like that, as we felt like doing.
It doesn't sound like this training was that harsh.
Oh, no, no, no. No, it wasn't at Mudros, no.
Did people say anything about what it was like on Gallipoli itself? I mean, had any of them been out to Gallipoli and were there back resting, or...?
No. No, none of them had been out to Gallipoli.
So you were still fairly well in the dark about the place?
Oh, yes. Yes, we knew nothing about Gallipoli. Anyhow, we carried on there for a week or two. And then we got orders to move. And we got in on steamers. Moderate-sized little steamers, you know what I mean. You know, 200 or 300, perhaps. And we sailed off, thinking we were going to the Dardanelles. But we landed at Suvla Bay. We found out it was Suvla Bay we'd landed at. And we got into the little iron boats off the steamer and sailed to the port, you know, into the landing.
This was at night?
Yes, oh yes, dead at night, this.
Did you come under any fire?
No. No, I don't think we had a sniper's bullet. I don't think so. We landed, walked up the beach into the, I don't know what you call these places where the troops bedded down and slept under little tiny dugouts, you know what I mean. Gullies, them were them. Marched up into the gullies.
And which side of Suvla Bay were you on?
Which side?
The left-hand side or the right-hand side, the north or the south?
Well, I wouldn't say whether I was north or south.
Was the big plane behind you, or whereabouts?
Was what?
Where were you in relation to the big salt plain?
I couldn't say. Oh. I don't think we were there long enough to find out.
Fair enough.
You know, we landed, and we were only there. We just got fixed up in a little dugout, you know. And we hadn't been to the front line. No? Never went to the front line trenches.
Had you joined your battalion?
Not really. No, not really. But we were amongst other troops that was there, if you see what I mean. But we hadn't really joined our battalion. Not that I know of. And like I say, we'd only there a couple of days or more.
Which battalion were you joining, though, if we could just establish?
That was first, of course. If I was going to the Dardanelles, I was always supposed to be going to the first battalion. They were engaged in the Dardanelles, the first battalion.
You're in this gully. What were the dugouts like in that?
Oh, a little bit of corrugated tin made as a roof, like a sither. That was corrugated tin with some dirt pile on top of it, you know. Like that thing, and dirt, corrugated tin in a little place, and dirt pile on top of it. A couple of you in one, that would be plenty.
What rations were you getting there?
We'd hardly any time to get any rations. But of course we always had with us iron rations, you know, which we had to use if necessary.
What did they consist of?
Oh, they consisted of a tin, tea in and sugar, and a couple of biscuits, dog biscuits. That's about all you had for iron rations. Some had extras, some didn't.
Now, what happened while you were there then? You weren't there long.
No, only there.
Do you know what date it was when you landed? Roughly speaking.
Let's see. Would it be January?
December, probably. I think it was evacuated.
No. It was more like October, I should think. Because I'm taking it. We're back on Dardanelles for Christmas Day. You see. Back in Mudras, really. So, it must have been a week or two before that.
So December, roughly speaking, or late
November?
Yeah,
something like that. November.
Late November.
They just had a nasty do, you know. Had the troops up there. They'd had a day or two of terrible winter, you know. Rain and wind and it had ruined quite a good few of the troops. He'd gone sick. That's why Reed really would join them, I think. Anyway.
Did you ever actually get into the front line or the reserve lines? Or
were
you just always in this gully?
Never. Never went to the front line. Yes. I believe we were just run to Suvla Bay and dropped off there because of the coming evacuation in a day or two's time. Just to bluff Jerry, I think. It must have been that, because we were never used. And they appeared to be preparing for an attack. Our telegraph men were out putting up poles and new wires. And the beach was loaded with boxes. The hospital camp was there, lit up, beautiful. And in a couple of days' time...
So you'd heard... Hang on, before you... You'd heard nothing about any rumours of evacuation, then?
No, not... Well, when we got there, yes.
What were the rumours?
We're leaving this place. Get away. Yeah, that's right. You think so? I'm certain. Where have you got it from? So and so, you know. Well. Ah, you're kidding, you know.
So you didn't believe that? You believed that there was going to be an attack?
I did, yes. I didn't think we were evacuating it, no. I couldn't see any reason in it. Because we're building up... The fellas that you use in the trenches, we're building them up. you know, with fresh sandbags. And these Welsh names are putting up the new wires behind our lines. You know, you could see them, the enemy could see them putting them up. There were two monitors and a cruiser in the bay below us. There was the great big hospital, and it was a big one, you know, lit up beautifully. And, no. Now and again, one of our 18-pounders would bang off and let Jerry have one. So I never dreamt until, I'm sure it was the same day, you know, in the afternoon, that we first knew we were evacuating, because we had to get packed then, ready for moving.
Before I go into that, now you'd been on the Western Front. How did you compare the trenches and the amount of artillery fire and sniping, say, and everything else with what you saw on the Western Front? I realise you weren't in the front line, but what was your impression of the amount of fighting and the nature of the conditions compared to the Western Front?
Oh, not to be compared. Not what we went through. Not to be compared with the Western Front. No. There was no... all the time I was out there, there was never a tremendous lot of fighting. Either at Dardanelles or Suvla Bay, either. It was practically done with, you know. And there was never a lot of fighting.
By Dardanelles, do you mean the Helles bit?
Yes, in Helles. When we went there, we went in reserve trenches, that's all.
Okay, well, I'll come on to that. Now, what about dysentery? Was that a problem while you were at Gallipoli?
Oh,
did you see anything of that?
Yes. There was dysentery on Mudros, for that matter. You know, one or two fellas went sick with dysentery on Mudros because of the sand and stuff. But, that was quite a common thing.
Was it worse at Suvla?
No. We really hardly there time enough to get anything.
So could you tell me how you say, when you first heard about the evacuation and then you were... Could you take me through the story from there? Who told you?
Well, just one at Pals, one of our men. He'd heard it somewhere, he said, and, you know, he was telling us. Anyhow, we started to pack, we got orders to pack. Hey, you're right, chum. We got orders to pack, you see. And as soon as ever it was dark, we were warned to move off slowly, in single file, quietly, no smoking, no talking, quietly. And we moved off in single file, one behind the other, right down to the beach. So there was no doubt about it. And there was the little iron boats at the beach, waiting for us to get in them. And we jumped in as quick as possible. And as soon as we were full, it chugged off till it came to a ship out at sea.
Did you know any of the other precautions that had been taken to keep the evacuation secret? Did you see any other signs of tricks or wheezes they'd thought of?
Yes, they were building them big boxes on the beach. They weren't taking them down, and they were all empty. But they weren't putting any new boxes up.
You mean the boxes were empty?
Well, there was hundreds of them, you know. Piles of them. And our monitors kept letting go, you know, Jerry's lines. And the cruiser kept firing now and again, a broadside, he'd
That's
fire.
During the night he kept doing that?
Oh, during the day, too.
What about during the actual evacuation night?
You know, nothing happened. From us leaving our gully, we just heard a crack or two of a sniper, which had nothing to do with an evacuation or anything. He was simply doing their duty in the front line, Turks and English. And we simply heard the odd crack of a rifle. It made no difference to us. And there was no shells came after us. None whatever. We walked down to the beach as quietly and nicely as if it was here. got in the little iron boats and sailed away to the ship.
Could you describe those little iron boats?
They were exactly, as far as I remember, they were exactly like our canal boats here. Exactly like them. But they were made of iron.
What propelled them?
A little motor.
They have some Royal Navy aboard at all?
Yes, they'd have somebody. They had a driver aboard, of course. Yes. And we simply got in, packed like a sardines, you know, and we sat in. That boat was as full as it possibly could be when it went out to sea. And we went up a ladder onto this ship, climbed out of the little boats onto this ship, and it was only an ordinary small steamer, like an Alaman steamer, something like that. And we got on and sailed away. Nobody knew where we was going. No, they didn't. I didn't notice anybody else.
Where did you think you'd be going?
Well, we thought we were going, there was all places mentioned, back to Mudros, you know, to Salonika, where the war was on then at the time. And we didn't know we were going back to Mudros, to Els, because we didn't know that was going to be evacuated either, you see, we didn't know it. Anyway, this little ship I'm on sails back into Mudros. We weren't supposed to do. We were supposed to go round to the mainland in at Cape Ellis and land there. But our little ship, just ours with our number on, our company, sailed into Mudros. The captain, and he'd had wrong orders, you know. Well, when we get to Mudros, they've no idea where to put us. They don't know we're coming. They've no idea where to put us. They've no rations for us. We're not with our battalion. We can't claim any rations anywhere. So the officers have to go ashore and catch off certain people to keep us alive. You know, they had to do to get some rations for us. And we stopped inside.
Is that where you were put on board the Southland for a while?
Yes.
Because that was the ship that had been torpedoed.
That was the ship I told you about that left before us.
What do you remember about that? What condition was she in?
Oh, she was
listing.
Yes, tipped over. And there were sailors working. Well, there were sailors or dock workers or something. Emptying the water from her. She was filling with water. And they were boarding up. Best they could. He said he was making her fit to get back to England, and then she'd have to have a proper do, you see. We used to wheel the air pump for them, you know, that sent her down to one and that. We used to do that past time on.
So
give them a rest.
How long did this interval, you know, last for? Because you were in the wrong place.
Oh, 2 or 3 days it had to before they could make their minds up. We were there 2 or 3 days on that ship because they couldn't make their mind up, I'm sure, what to do with us. Where to send us or what? They couldn't make their mind up anyway, they were lost. And at the finish we got orders to get on a boat again, and we sailed to Ellis this time. We sailed to Ellis and went ashore there.
Which beach did you land on?
I don't know proper. It was the main beach anyway, where we went through the River Clyde, you know, onto the main beach, on into the Great North Road. It was a communication trench that went well up towards the front line but it was the widest communication centre I've ever known in my life. I bet it was as wide as from there to here. Donkeys could go up it, loaded. That was a communication trench. We went up that for so far, and then up another bit of a trench until we got in some reserve trenches. And that was where we stopped. That was where we stopped in the reserve trenches until we got the word to evacuate again.
What were you doing during this period? Because it can't have been long there.
Wasn't long.
What were you doing during the day or during the night?
Well, we had to keep undercover, of course. He kept coming over with aeroplanes, you know. And we had to keep undercover. They said, don't let him see us much. And we'd all had little bits of shelters over our head in them reserve trenches. And we would snipe at aeroplanes when they come over. We never needed to help the front line because they were never in trouble while we were there, you see.
Were you on working parties at all?
No, we didn't go on working parties. We weren't there long again.
Were you on the shellfire at all?
Oh, yes, odd ones came over, oh, yes. But nothing to speak of. I mean, to many that had been in France, oh, it was a play day. There was no real fighting. I think the English then had already made up their minds that they'd finished fighting and they were going to evacuate. They knew it up at the top, you see. Weeks before they knew it was going to be evacuated. And, of course, it didn't encourage a lot of fighting, you see. It was no use, was it? Archie Baba was there, always in front of us. Queen Elizabeth was yelling it, and one or two more cruisers over our heads, you know, knocking cobs off it, but didn't make no difference.
What impressions did you have of Helles as a front? Did anything?
There was nothing startling about it when we were there, no. Because there weren't no fighting much. And like I say, we was in a second trench, a reserve trench, from the front line, you know. We weren't disturbed by snipers like the front line.
Were you surprised by how small it was at all, or was it what you were expecting?
Oh, it was bigger than I expected. Oh, yes. Bigger than I expected.
What had you expected?
Eh?
What was it you'd expected?
Well, I thought there'd have been far more front, you know, than there was. It wasn't really a great big front, you know. There were more bits of fronts like that, so and so.
Separated.
Yeah. One beach from another, or something like that, you see. Specially sorted out. Oh, no, that was it, you see. It was quiet enough in the Dardanelles. Quite enough for us, anyway. And we stopped there until the rumours started spreading again. It's funny. You could get the rumours, but Jolly Turk hadn't the faintest idea. So that was jolly good that, you know, weren't it? And you could get rumours amongst the men that were evacuating, but still Jolly Turk didn't know. He either didn't know or didn't care and was glad to let us go. I think a lot depends on that. I think, really, that was partly due to how we got the evacuation going. Johnny Turk decided to let us go, I think. I'm almost sure. Because he never put up a slightest bit of fight.
When the rumours started again, did you believe them this time? Or?
Yes. Especially when we'd finished at Sugla Bay, we could tell we'd come there for the same thing. They're fresh to the ear, same thing. So we did that. And we simply got orders one day, get your things together in the daytime, like, get your things together. And then the order came. We'll be leaving. Single file, not a sound, not a smoke, you know, not a light, not a sound or anything. In single file, you'll file out to the beach. And we did, you know. So nice, it was like going across a field with a wild bull in it. You know, to feel like it. As if the bull was going to charge you any minute. And then Asiatic Annie didn't try to knock us out. Never mind anything else. From 12 mile away.
What preparations had been made? Had there been any preparations?
Oh, yes.
You remember
looking back during the time, you could see great big guns being dragged across the beach below. And there were tree trunks. They weren't guns, they were big tree trunks. And there was this here piled up there. And it wasn't ammunition, they were empty boxes. You see, there's stuff piled up there.
So the same as at Suvla?
Yeah, and they were digging trenches, as if they were kind of wanted to be safer, you know. They were digging trenches which they never used. And you crept out, you got inside of the River Clyde, waltzed through it, out on the other side, a little boat, and away to the ships. And then you turn round, and later on you could see the things going up on the beach, great big flames, you know. They were blowing things up that were they couldn't take away. And there was no fire at us, no shooting at us, no nothing. Like I say, sometimes I think Johnny took you and he let us go so it could be over with.
Did you feel it had been a defeat? I mean, how did that...
Oh, yes.
What were you saying amongst yourselves? Or thinking amongst yourselves?
Well, they were saying all sorts of things. They're saying, that bloody Churchill, this, you know, his bloody idea, this was.
They were saying that already, then?
Yep. Yes.
What did you think?
His idea. Well, I had to think somewhere like that. And I do believe it. Because Achi Baba was there, like I tell you, that range of hills. Achi Baba, that we left. Still left, with Johnny Turk holding it, you know. But I'd met fellas, spoken to them. When we were in the Cape Palace, in the trenches, I'd met fellas that had been over the top of there. I'd met them. They'd been over the top on the way after Johnny Turk. You see what I mean?
What, early on?
Yes, in the attack, the first attack. They got over. And they had no support, you know, they all had to come back. They had to call them back. Well, that was Churchill's mistake, you see. Yeah, I spoke to them, said, we've been over top of there once. And we had nobody to support us at all. We had to come back. Oh, well, it looks nice, that does, by the train. Had it captured once, and been over, and had to walk back again.
Now, where were you going? Did you know where you were going?
When?
Just after you'd left Gallipoli.
Not the faintest idea. When we left Gallipoli and got on this ship, they were guessing, as the Tommy always is, whenever there's a move. We're going to Egypt. We're going to Salonika. We're going home to England for a complete rest. Oh, dear me.
Which did you believe?
I didn't know what believe. I had no idea where we were going. I knew we was on this boat and we were sailing away past the battleships and leaving them, you know. Anyway, we arrived back at Mudros.
Did you disembark?
Yes, oh yes.
So it was back into camp?
We disembarked at Mudros and got under canvas again. And we had a glorious time for a fortnight. It was week after Christmas. All the mail come for our A company of Lancashire Fusiliers. I think there was 80 bags, and I think there was only about 60 odd men for them. A bag a man. So we had to open these bags, take the chocolate out and fancy cake and biscuits and gloves and socks and razor blades and any letter we had to hand it to the officer, you see. Any letter in it we had to hand it to the officer. And the fella's actually sick with eating chocolate. You know, there's that much.